This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers, and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Joy 94.9, the only radio station in the country that's out and proud.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you. Our special guest today, along with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Gabby and Scott, we do have Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project. Greg, welcome to Joy.
Afternoon, Paul. Afternoon, Scott and Gabby.
Good afternoon.
The Anti-Violence Project is the peak body for addressing violence against and within the GLBTI communities. How long has there been an Anti-Violence Project?
Well, it's actually within the gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender communities. Intersex people are really largely serviced through straight violence measures. Most identify as heterosexual, and violence against intersex people is usually dealt with outside of that. So there's a slight diversion. But we've been around for about 13 years, Paul, the Anti-Violence Project. It was the group that, with also and VAC, helped set up the rights lobby. So we've been around for quite a while under various guises.
Made up of volunteers, what sort of work do you do as a group?
Oh, a whole range of stuff, from website updates to campaigns. We've got some new volunteers coming up at the moment, some that are doing just campaign work, developing new campaigns, but some will actually have been groomed to take over some of the work that the rest of us do in terms of administering the AVP and keeping it happening. But we had a big number of campaigns involved in Stop Homophobia Today, which is the website campaign for International Day Against Homophobia.
What will you do with all the photos that you've got?
We've been talking about that, Scotty, haven't we?
We haven't been talking about it.
We have a plan.
I like the idea of a book.
We have a book we're going to produce.
We'd like to put all of the photos into a book and produce that for memorial.
Quick recap on what the photos actually were.
If you check out stophomophobiatoday.com, you'll see there's a whole range of public profile people, and the governor's there, the police commissioner is there, and the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, a range of other people right across the state, rural areas, metropolitan areas.
Really good mix of people.
People came to our photo-taking day down at Bourke Street Mall. Gabby was there. Everyone was there. And they've done personal messages, had photos taken with their personal messages, and they're uploaded on the website.
Those messages are challenging homophobia in our community.
That's right.
Asking people for it to stop.
If you've got a really inspiring message out there, take a photo and send it into us, and we'll put it up on the website.
And get it into the book.
How cool is that? I know with the Coming Forward report, released in 2008 by the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, it said that about 70% of victims of heterosexist crime did not report the incident to police. Firstly, Scott, can you explain to me heterosexist, and then could you tell me why this type of crime is not reported to police?
Okay, I won't give a full definition of what heterosexist is. Liam Leonard, who wrote the Coming Forward report, does an excellent job of that, and I'd hate to take that away from him. But basically it was about a way of trying to capture homophobic crime and transphobic crime without having to say homophobic and transphobic crime all the time. So it's that heterosexist, that heteronormative sort of stuff that occurs, that sort of allows violence and criminal incidents to occur. So we know that through this report that about 70% of people did not report crimes to police, and that's for a whole variety of reasons. There's the concern that the police won't take the incident seriously, that they want to hide their sexual orientation so they don't talk about the incident or how the incident occurred. And there's even things like, you know, a bad previous experience with police that might be preventing that person from reporting.
And while other communities are speaking up against violence, for some reason GLBT communities have remained relatively silent on this. And this really needs to change, and that's one thing the Anti-Violence Project is doing. It's a good way for victims of prejudice-motivated crime to report violence if they're uncomfortable or not comfortable reporting it to the police.
And you know, Gabby, that part of the reason, and Scott talked about the heterosexist nature, we've had generations growing up where they'll, at the workplace, they'll celebrate heterosexual wedding engagement, they'll celebrate relationships that are all heterosexual nature. Most homosexual relationships are celebrated in quiet, maybe with some family and friends, but usually quiet. And that hidden nature about our lives has extended into our experience around violence. Mm. When we were illegal, before 82, when we were illegal and violence took place against a gay person, we had to hide it because our sexuality was illegal. So there's a whole generation there that have hidden with violence. Now, today, our last 8 reports, we've got another report up on our website today, none of them were reported directly to the police in the first instance.
Yeah. Craig, coming forward also suggests that about 60% of victims of heterosexist violence did not report the incident to anyone. And I assume this includes the anti-violence project.
That's right.
Why do you think people don't report, and how can people report to the anti-violence project?
The interesting part of that is, despite all we're saying, I actually think the average gay and lesbian is quite resilient. We probably don't adopt the victim persona as much as the broader community
does. I think
does.
That's a fair comment, yeah. You know,
we have a lot of strength. We sometimes gain strength in our friends, our close friends, and we move on. We'll actually cop it and move on. Sometimes we think it's just like collateral damage that comes with being gay, and we'll wear it and we'll move forward. But that being said, that means some people that don't wear it well are even more damaged and more impacted by it.
Would it be similar, Greg, to say someone who's quite overweight, walking down the street, they get told that they're fat or, you know, lose some weight or whatever it is. Like, they don't go off and report that to the police, do they? So being called, oh, you're gay or you're Nancy boy, or, like you said, you just wear it and then just walk on.
Ironically, we all wear the, you know, the gay, the Nancy boy. It's more the straight person that's called a poofter or a faggot is going to be more impacted by that, perhaps in a school environment, workplace environment. It's the extreme nature of the vilification, as Scott would attest to. It's not just being called a Nancy boy or a queer. It's you effing faggot or you filthy C lesbian or whatever. It's the heightened end of the verbal vilification that makes it such an outrageous act.
Certainly some of the stuff that I've looked at in regards to homophobic assaults, about 70% of homophobic assaults are preceded by homophobic verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a level of that, and it's about how people respond to that verbal abuse that can cause the incident to then escalate into more serious violence.
And would you agree, Scott, that it's not normally just one person doing it, it's normally a group?
Yeah, most of the research around the assaults that we look at is two up to about 11 people have been the perpetrators, and in a lot of instances there's also alcohol is probably a factor in it as well.
So if there's 11 people having a go at you, vilifying you and then eventually pushing and shoving, you're even less likely to report. You're more likely to feel like crawling into a ball and going home and just shutting the door.
Yep.
Why is reporting so important? We keep talking about you should report, you should report. Why is it so important?
Well, we understand there are a number of reasons why people don't want to report to police. But what everyone needs to understand is that unless you report something to us or to the Anti-Violence Project, we are unaware of what is going on. And if we don't know what's going on, we can't send appropriate resources out to either solve that particular crime or prevent future crimes from occurring. So that's why, contact the police, let us know what's going on. And if you think maybe you've had some bad experiences with the police, or you think it's a little bit trivial, it's not important enough, and that's a wrong way to look at it because everything is important and we want to know. But if you are feeling like that, get onto the Anti-Violence Project website and report what's going on to them.
And hasn't it changed, Gab? When I was growing up, when I was 14 or 15, you had homophobic cops that would bash gay guys when they're off duty, right? These days, that whole rump is no longer policing. They've moved on. They're now cleaning, or they're now working as truck drivers or somewhere else, or accountants or lawyers. But the police now, it's a handshake between the gay community and the police force. It's so strong.
To the point where people like yourself actually come along to the police academy.
I was down there with you not just last week, actually helping train those new recruits.
That's right.
And as were Sally Goldner from the transgender group as well. So the partnership we have with police has never been stronger. And if I was bashed tomorrow, I'm very comfortable. If I was a person that wasn't connected to any friends in the community, I'd be able to go to any police station and just talk over the counter and have the same respect shown to me that I'd show other people.
Exactly.
But we understand that people have got negative past experiences, and some people are reluctant to do that because of those negative past experiences, and that's very much where the Anti-Violence Project comes in. Is that
right?
That's
right. Exactly right. That's our role, to handshake between police and the community.
And the Anti-Violence Project has got nothing whatsoever, no connection with the police at all?
No, totally. We're all poofs and dykes. We're transgender poofs and dykes. We're gay men and lesbians and transgender people that are part of the community. None of us have actually ever been in the police force or members of the police force.
But there's a close working relationship between the Anti-Violence Project and Victoria Police, which is important.
We do exchange Christmas cards, don't we, Scott?
Yes, occasionally.
We've spoken about the underreporting of homophobic violence and how people can use the Anti-Violence Project website to report homophobic incidents online. But, Greg, the Anti-Violence Project has a new initiative to map reports of homophobic violence, which I called it something really good
before. Homographic.
Homographic.
It's homographic violence. Targeted homographic violence. And, you know, that's a really good description of it too, because in this day and age, we're using social networks, we're using Twitter, Facebook, all those different means, email, constantly through the day. Anyone can hop on the web, check out the Anti-Violence Project, make a report. They'll know it's going to be addressed through that site. Or if they see it happening to other people, they can make a report on behalf of what they see. But they can just check out the map as well, know which areas are hotspots. Like currently, we've got three of the reports on the website show there's a hotspot in the Stonington area, Commercial Road, Chapel Street area, a hotspot where gay men are being vilified and physically assaulted by patrons of particular nightclubs, straight nightclubs. Now, you can go on the website and know, well, next Saturday, I'm going to be a little bit more vigilant. I'm going to watch out for my friends in that area. We'll be a bit more protective.
And the good thing about the website is it gives a bit of a story about how the incident occurred as well.
Yep.
And it's very similar to the reporting that we get to police, that there is some verbal lead-in before the actual assault occurs.
And that message then, Scott, is if someone's starting to vilify you and be verbally harassing of you, especially if they're in a group, when it's likely to happen, sometimes it's best just to zip it and walk the other way.
Yep.
Put some distance between you and the guy that's trying to goad you into responding.
Yep, and then either contact yourselves through the website or contact the police to let us know that it's occurring so that we can then start to put some resources into place to be able to address some of those issues.
Well, 150 metres up the road from where this is happening is the Prahran Police Station. And none of these incidents were reported to Prahran Police Station. Mm. So, I mean, what's happening here? We could put some distance between us and the perpetrators by walking 100 metres up the road and talking to the cops over the police station.
But the advantage is that by people reporting through the anti-violence website is that the information is still coming to the police.
Yeah.
And that we're able to inform ourselves about what is occurring.
We will protect any information you want to remain confidential, like your name. If you don't want it passed on to police, we won't do that. We respect confidentiality. But the nature of the report, if the police don't know the true extent of violence taking place, how can they possibly allocate enough resources to respond to the violence against us? Very important point.
More information, get yourself across to antiviolence.info. Do you have, Greg, information nights people can attend, or is there any scope for that to happen?
We used to hold, well, we hold an annual general meeting every year, but we used to hold a couple of information sessions around issues. We haven't done that for a while. That's a good point. We might just look at that. We've been too busy doing campaigns. It's really campaign focused because we're all volunteers. We do our work at the time where we make maximum impact on addressing violence.
And Community Safety Month is coming up. There are some plans underfoot. We'll keep them quiet for the moment, but there are some plans underfoot for some activities during Community Safety Month in a bit of a partnership between police and the Anti-Violence Project.
Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Scott and Gabby, till next week, Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers will be back on Joy 94.9.
Joy. 94.9.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
The Victoria Police Glows, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.